The scripture in the book of Genesis, chapter 24, and verse 27. The book of Genesis, chapter 24, and verse 27. The Bible says, "And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Praise God. The title of this message is The Guided Journey, Finding Direction on the Obedient Path. Praise God. Can we all say, "I being in the way"? Hallelujah. The question we have to ask ourselves today is, which way are you in? Amen. We often expect the Lord to guide us, to bless our journey, to bless what we do. But notice what the servant of Abraham said here. He said, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." Praise God. And this is a very important distinction. Before we undertake a journey, before we embark upon a certain plan, certain destiny, we first have to make sure that we are in the way. Do you know that the early Christians Christians were called the people of the way? Amen. The people of the way. Hallelujah. That was all. There was no Christianity in the beginning. But they were called the people who followed the way. Hallelujah. And I think there's a lot for us to learn about this term. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 9. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9 and verse 2. Notice carefully the wording of the word of God. It says, "And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," notice that, "if he found any of this way, whether there were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Praise God. When Saul of Tarsus wanted to kill Christians, he didn't call them Christians. They were not known as Christians. He asked for letters from the high priest so that he could go and arrest all the people of the way. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful way to think about our faith today? Say, "I am of the way." Which way? Jesus said, "I am the way." Hallelujah. The truth and the life. So it's not a religion that we are following. It's not some rituals. The first description of what we believe in, our faith, was called the way. If you catch anybody who follows the way, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Arrest them. Bring them. So we are proud to say today we are part of this way. Turn with me again to the book of Acts, chapter 22 and verse 4. You'll be quite amazed how in the beginning Christianity was referred to as the way. Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. Listen to the Apostle Paul, how he describes Christianity. He doesn't use the word Christianity. He said, "And I persecuted this way. Amen. Somebody say this way. Unto the death. Oh, hallelujah. You know, sometimes we have to approach our faith from different angles. We need to see it from the perspective of the Apostle Paul. He said, I did not like the people who followed the way. I persecuted this way. Hallelujah. Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Praise Jesus. Are you in the way? Is the question. Jesus is the way. We are traveling in a person. We are traveling within a person. Jesus is our highway. Jesus is our motorway. Jesus is the direction, the destination, praise God. He is the Alpha of the way, and he's the Omega of the way. Praise God. It's just this way. Somebody say, I'm in the way. We're all travelers, brothers and sisters. That is why when you see the word of God, we are often talked to as if we are a people on a journey, isn't it? We remember the words of the man who was given even the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What did he say? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, hallelujah, strangers and pilgrims. A pilgrim is a person on a journey. A pilgrim is familiar with the way, with the road. Amen. A pilgrim loves to keep moving. Somebody say we must keep moving. The worst thing for a traveler is to stop somewhere. You cannot stop in Jesus who is away. Jesus never stopped anywhere for too long. He was always moving. The Christian life is about growth. The Christian life is about maturity because it's a way. You know, if after 2 days you're in the same place, we cannot call ourselves travelers. We cannot call ourselves pilgrims. We're in the way. And this way ends in heaven, brothers and sisters. This way, along the way, the scenery keeps changing. You see new things. You become more experienced. You become a professional traveler. Some of us should have become professional travelers by now. So this is what Eliezer meant. I'm speaking about the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Once you are in this way, you can expect. You have the right to expect to be guided by Jesus. Amen. Because you are on the right path. You believe in the one God. You put on Christ through baptism in Jesus' name after having repented of your sins. You said goodbye to the way that you were walking in before, because that way was not Jesus. How many people are walking in ways today which end in disappointment? Where is the end station of their way? Especially when I meet elderly people in their 70s, 80s, I feel a sadness come over me because I think, what a long way they've traveled. They're about to arrive at the last station. But is the last station heaven? Is it the New Jerusalem? Have you ever gotten off a wrong station at a wrong station? It's horrible, isn't it? Terrible. When you get out and you see this is the wrong station, and then you try to rush back in your train or whatever. Amen. No one wants to get off at a location which you did not plan to go. I want to ask some people, where are you expecting your way to end? Somebody say with me, our way will definitely end with Jesus. Amen. Because he is the way. Praise God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We are not just following any way. We are following the way that is Jesus. And Eliezer was a good man, a very faithful, obedient man of God. Notice how he spoke to Abraham. Amen. In the same way, one day, Jesus spoke to us. He told us about his identity. Just as Abraham reminded Eliezer about his identity. Remember Eliezer, the God who spoke to me in Ur of the Chaldees. Praise God. You see, you cannot go in the way without getting clear instructions of who is sending you. The God of Abraham was sending him. Some people who are walking in the way called Jesus and they don't know who Jesus is. They say he's one of the members of the Trinity. God have mercy. Jesus is never one out of three or one out of five or even one out of two. Never. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. Finished. Don't insult Jesus by making him one third of a committee. That means you have given him 33.3% of power. If there is a Trinity, then Jesus has only 33%. But Jesus said, all power. Somebody say, all power. All power. That means he has to be the only God. Yeah? You know, if somebody says he has all power, praise God, that means he must be the only God. There cannot be another God who says the same thing. In Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power. Somebody say, all power. Not 33.3% of the power, as the Trinity would imply. You know, the Trinitarian doctrine is confused because they realize the mistake they're making by making Jesus one of the three members of the Trinity. So they say, but don't forget, there are three almighties. God the Father is almighty. God the Son is almighty. God the Holy Ghost is almighty. Excuse me, how can there be three almighty? The meaning of almighty means all power is given to one person. Amen. Have you ever come across a land with three presidents? Have you ever met a country with three presidents or three prime ministers? Even on the earth, you don't find three kings in one kingdom or three prime ministers. How are you saying in heaven there are three? it's a joke. Yeah, if you find three kings in one country or three prime ministers or presidents, then I can believe there may be a Trinity in heaven. Even on the earth, who nobody likes to share their power in one kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. They used to say, God save the king. They never said, God save the kings. For no such thing existed. So say with me, to us, there is only one God. Praise God. To us, there is only one God, praise God. Say with me, all power is in the name of Jesus. Amen. All power. Say with, it will bless you to say it. Amen. We should say it often. Say, all power is in the name of Jesus. Outside of Jesus, no one has power. Praise God. Outside of Jesus, no one. If you think or somebody has power, God gave them a little bit of power. Amen. Little bit. You know, if people of this earth think they have too much power, they should come out at night and have a look at the stars. Finish. Then you will know how much power you have. Praise God. But we know to us, when I look at the heavens, David said, when I see the firmament, I say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Please have a look at the scars. If you feel one day you are becoming powerful, please have a look at the scars. Get a telescope. Have a look at the universe. And then you will know how small we are. Praise God. Hallelujah. To us, there is only one God. Amen. Galatians 3:20 says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Our God is one. Paul said it. Peter said it. Isaiah said it. Jesus said it. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4, Paul says, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Oh, hallelujah. None other God but one. If there is more than one God, there should be more than one way. But Jesus said, I am the way, because there is only one God. I cannot listen to two gods. It's too much for me. I can listen to one God. I can have one boss. You know, it's a problem if you have too many bosses. They will confuse you. You need one boss. Say, Jesus is my boss. I have his word. I read his word. I listen to my boss. I'm walking in the way. Can you drive on two highways at the same time? Can you drive on two ways at the same time? Can you walk in two ways at the same time? It's impossible. So Abraham told Eliezer about the way. Amen. And Eliezer heard everything. And then he said, I, being on the way, in the way, the Lord led me. Praise God. Believe God is one. Repent of your sins. Repent of disobeying him, of living a life without him. And then you receive him. Be baptized in Jesus' name. Humble yourself. Remove the body of death. In this way, called Jesus' way, you cannot have the body of Adam. Praise God. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch was on the way back to his country. But notice, he was on the spiritual way because he's reading the Bible. You should have the Bible in this way. Amen. Praise God. We don't sit and read Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck comic books on this way. He's reading the Bible because he's in the way. He could have said also, I being on the way, reading the book of Isaiah, the Lord led me. Hallelujah. Amen. When you are on the way and you are doing the right thing on the way, God will lead you. He will send a Philip. He will send an angel. He will send a Paul. He will send somebody to tell you, continue. You're on the right way. Praise God. Everything will be well. Your journey will be successful. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Eliezer heard from Abraham. In other words, you cannot just go on a journey without knowing what is the purpose of your journey. Have you noticed that the worst journeys we've been on are the ones where we were least prepared, isn't it? You made a mistake with your flight booking. You end up at the airport, you have to pay more. Or they tell you to go home, come back another flight. And nothing is right with that journey. When you land, the hotel is wrong. Everything is wrong. And you say, oh, I did not like that journey. It's because you didn't prepare for the journey properly. If you want to enjoy the Christian life, you need to prepare properly in Jesus' name. Eliezer prepared properly for his journey. Amen. He had everything with him. You could see the guy was enjoying himself. Hallelujah. He really was having a good time. I being on the way, he's even boasting in a good way. He's saying, what a wonderful journey. I really enjoyed this journey. Amen. He had gold, he had silver, he had camels, he had everything. He prepared properly. Our Christian journey will also be as successful as how we prepare. Amen. How did you prepare? What did you hear from Abraham? What did you hear from Jesus? What did he tell you? Have you read what he said? What to expect on the way? Amen. What to take on the way? What to say on the way? What to expect on the way? Jesus has given us the whole New Testament to prepare. Beware of this. Beware of that. Do this. Do that. Don't do this. Don't. A lot of preparation for this journey, brothers and sisters. Amen. Make sure you have oil in your lamps, especially towards the end. Remember the five foolish virgins. Praise God. Do not premeditate what you shall say when it comes to a chance to give your testimony. For the Father in you will speak. Hallelujah. What is all of this? It is, say it with me, instructions for the journey. Amen. Instructions for the journey. I being on the way, I'm on the way. Are you on the way? Are we moving? Hallelujah. Praise God. Why did the children of Israel not make it to the end of the way? Because they're not listening to the instructions. Can somebody say amen? They want to go on the way, but they want to go back. See, once you go on the way, Jesus said, once you start and you look back, you are not worthy of this way. Say with me, we are not going back in Jesus' name. We have traveled so far, we don't even know the way back. I don't even know the way back after 40 years. I thank God that I cannot find the way back to Egypt in Jesus. Hallelujah. May the Lord wipe out the path of the old way. May the Lord never allow us to remember the way back to Egypt. May you get lost if you try to go to Egypt. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But I can assure you about one thing. Nobody ends up by accident into heaven. Like the people you see who are lost in the jungle, you see some films, and suddenly say, oh my goodness, I'm here. El Dorado, Shangri-La, I found. You know, it's all make-believe. Nobody stumbles accidentally into heaven. Let's say with me, it is a deliberate journey. It is a purposeful journey. Amen. We know I know whom I have believed, Paul said. You know why nobody can take us out of the way? The devil often comes. Excuse me, excuse me. Can you please come out of the way? I need to talk to you. You know what we tell the devil? Excuse me. Join me in the way and we will talk. And I will give you whatever you want. I mean, what are you looking for, Bible? Never go out of the way. The devil's job is to get you to stop and to go back. This is what he was doing with the children of Israel. But the Apostle Paul, he was very determined. He had been given good instructions. Hallelujah. And he kept his eyes on going forward. Say forward. Let's read Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Somebody say, this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Oh, hallelujah. We're on the way. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press. Somebody say, I press. Who told you that this will be an easy journey? Who told you that it will be a walk in the park? No, no, no. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Praise God. Say, I press toward the mark. Oh, hallelujah. You have to fight sometime in this journey. You set out to end up somewhere. Why did you stop? Why do you look back? No, keep pressing. Keep pressing in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Eleazar refused to be distracted. He knew his master. Say, I know my master. My master is Jesus. Hallelujah. I know the instructions he gave me. Say, I know what he told you. Do you know what your master told you? It's between you and your master. Praise God. That's why I love the song. It doesn't say we are, but walking into heaven. It says, well, when the saints go marching in. You know, when somebody is marching, it means a commander gave them an order. Ah, somebody say hallelujah. We are not walking in a, like an evening walk, which we can stop. You are marching. There is a general who gave you orders to march. And until the general will say that you should stop marching, you have to march. I'm marching. You are marching. We're in the way. And we say we are marching because our commander gave us orders. Praise God. Until he says to stop. Hallelujah. You know, back in my school days, British boarding school, they used to say, school, stand at ease. I was the one to give the orders. And then school alert. And then school, march. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. School, stop. School at ease. You know, I sound like a military drill sergeant. That's what I grew up with. We only have to listen to the orders and follow the order. You're not supposed to even think. Look, Jesus didn't tell us not to think. But We're on a journey. We're in the way. Just as Abraham gave commandments to Eliezer, our Jesus has given us a command. We're on the way. We are marching. And by the way, we have the goal of our master. Say with me, I have goal. Praise God. I'm not speaking about bling bling that we put on our body. Amen. I'm speaking about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. We are not poor, destitute travelers. We are like Eliezer. You know, Jesus sent his apostles two by two. He told them to take nothing. Why? Why do you need to take anything with you? When you have the gift of healing, when you have the gift of casting out demons, when you have the gospel of the King of Kings, why do you need to take gold and silver? That is your gold and silver. And Jesus knew with that gold and silver, they will never go hungry. Imagine if you raise somebody from the dead. Do you think they're not going to give you food to eat? Do you think they're not going to look and say, can I buy you a nice pair of shoes? Can I give you a nice suit, please? It's the minimum I can do. Amen. That's why you've seen preachers who start very poor, and after some time, their wardrobe is full of suits. Their closet is filled with all kinds of shoes. And then we think, they become worldly. No, no, no. You see, they already had a heavenly treasure in them. And when they used it for the ministry, people started to bless them. That's why Jesus said, don't take anything. It's stupid. Because you won't be able to carry all that they give you. Hallelujah. I've seen it many times. Bishop Tekle used to mention this all the time. He said, I don't know where all my clothes came from. He had the best shirts, the best ties, the best everything. So I made the mistake once of taking a big suitcase from London to him with shirts and ties. And you know what he did? He looked at it. He said, oh, this is so wonderful. He gave me a hug. He was so happy. And afterwards, I heard he gave it to all the poor preachers. He didn't take anything for himself. This is our treasure. Say, this is our treasure. The gifts of the Holy Ghost. If I preach to you, someone, and I comfort you, and I tell you, your God reigns in Zion. And while you were depressed before, you begin to shout hallelujah. Will you not bless me? Amen. And then you'll say, come, Brother Paul, please let me buy dinner for you. Let me give you this. So, this is how God works. Understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Because some people don't understand when Jesus sent his disciples, he sent them empty. What kind of a boss sends his people empty-handed? No, no, no. He gave them the treasure. He knew the world will appreciate this treasure. But it's not about gold and silver. Eliezer knew that the gold and the silver and the camels he had, you know, somebody may wonder and say, what? All of that treasure to bring back one woman? Is one woman worth all of this? You are right. It's not Rebecca who is worth all of this. It is the millions of children whom God promised Abraham. And above all, it is the seed of Abraham, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know the journey of Eliezer is about the journey of Jesus, finding Jesus? Somebody say, finding Jesus. He was going to find Jesus. That's the symbolic meaning. Why do you think Abraham told him, put your hand under my thigh and swear by the God of heaven? And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, sometimes we need to do the same. And we should tell people, listen, put your hand under our spiritual thigh. And I charge you in the name of Jesus that you walk on this way and the promises of Abraham, and you go to my people, to my God, hallelujah, and stay in this way, hallelujah, and walk up and down in this way, hallelujah. Don't go another way and bring a Canaanite woman. Don't go another way and bring us an unbeliever. In Jesus' name, we love the word of God so much that we just can't accept. I always say I can't understand people who, please listen carefully. If you say you love Jesus so much, he's your the way, the truth, and the life, he's everything for you, and then you go and marry an unbeliever. What is that? Explain to me. I haven't understood till today. I haven't understood. Show how much you love Jesus by who you choose. Do you know that after God, the person on this earth who you spend most of your time with is the person you choose to marry? If you bring an unbeliever into your house who doesn't love Jesus, how can you explain to us that you love Jesus? I don't understand. It's in the Bible. Do not be unequally yoked together. So stay in the way. This message is not about that. One day, God willing, we'll preach. But fight for the way. Show by your choices that you love Jesus. Have you heard the saying, I can't hear what you're saying because your actions speak loudly, so loudly. May God help us. I'm not here to condemn anybody. There's a weakness of the flesh. And once you're married, the Bible says you're not supposed to divorce yourself. But I'm telling you that the way we are speaking about now, it is about who you choose to travel with. Jesus is with you in the way. And then you'll bring somebody who doesn't love Jesus. The other day, I was speaking to somebody at the job and I was mentioning I'm a Christian. We had a long chat and I didn't know this person properly. The first thing is, you're speaking to an atheist. It makes me so sad to hear this. You're speaking to an atheist. May God deliver them from atheism. May God deliver them. This is one of the biggest sins around. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It is really a terrible sin. And I prayed for this person. I said, Lord, deliver them from this. It's blasphemy for me to hear this. But there we are surrounded by people who boast that there is no God. What happens when they open their eyes and they find there is a God? His name is Jesus. It's painful. Eternally painful. Find God now. He exists. We finished that discussion a long time ago. The question is, how do we please him? Is what we are talking about. Stay on the way. Stay on the way, praise God. So Eliezer, he said, the Lord led me. Why did the Lord lead him? Because he's on the way. But you may say, Brother Paul, you're repeating yourself. Yes, but sometimes we Christians don't get it. We wonder why God is not leading us. Perhaps because you're not on the way. Did the Lord tell you to go here? Why did the Lord ask the prophet Elijah? The only question he asked him is, Elijah, what doest thou here? What are you doing here? In other words, and he's starting to complain. The Lord is not interested in that. What are you doing here is the question. You are not in the way. God cannot speak to you if you're in the wrong way. He cannot lead you if you're in the wrong way. The only minimum God could do was keep him alive. Amen? Keep him alive. In his mercy, when we are in the wrong way, God sent an angel to cook food for him, to give him strength until God would speak to him. The children of Israel left that way hundreds of years ago, Elijah. Why did you go back? Next, are you going to go to Egypt from Mount Horeb? You see? Be careful. You may end up in Egypt, Elijah. He couldn't think. He was so depressed. And the Lord demonstrated his power. Amen. Sometimes to wake us up, God demonstrates power. But don't mistake those miracles for being in the right way. Amen. It's only because he's depressed. God woke him up with an earthquake. Boom. Hallelujah. God woke him up with his power. Miracles are not there to save you Miracles are not there for anything else except to get your attention in Jesus' name. Once God gets our attention, remember Job? He was complaining, complaining, complaining. He couldn't listen to anybody anymore. In the end, God came and demonstrated his power, and he was frightened. God's power is only to get our attention. When Jacob woke up and said, "This is a terrible place," what he meant is, "I feel the presence and the power of God. I'm scared." Okay, now listen, Jacob. Amen. Say, listen. May God help us to listen. A Christian says, "I've been walking in Christianity for 50 years. I haven't seen any miracle." Thank God for that, because it means you're a good listener. Why do you need a miracle? Amen. Some Christians think that miracles means God loves me, I'm on the right way. No, 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 no. How many miracles did the children of Israel see in the desert? And God said, "This is a stiff-necked generation. I will not allow them to enter into it." The people who saw the most miracles, God got fed up with them. Amen. Hallelujah. And there are people in the Bible who never saw miracles. Nothing big. What did Ruth see? What did Ruth see? You know why she didn't say any big miracles? Means, okay, Boaz, but that's not spectacular. Are you with me? One of the persons in the individuals with the most powerful faith, no miracles. Why? She doesn't need any. Her faith is her miracle. Praise God. May God give you such a faith that miracles are not necessary. Please understand me correctly. Or misunderstand me correctly, because some Christians worship miracles. And then we begin to have churches with all kinds of drama, with all kinds of, you know, the church becomes a circus. And then we make a human being into a semi-god. And then the curses come, and then they abuse people and rob their money and everything. We don't want that. Say with me, "I being on the way, the Lord led me." Did Eliezer see some big miracles? No. He just prayed, "Lord God, you are the God of my servant Abraham, of my master Abraham," etc., etc. And he said, "Give me a sign." That's all. That's not a huge big miracle. It's nothing which scares you. You smile and you say, "This is must be from God." He's confirming it. So we need to be on the way, and God will confirm. Amen. He will confirm. When God did it with big miracles like the dividing the Red Sea, manna from heaven, it ended up in a bad way. What we need to pray for is not big miracles, but big faith in Jesus' name. Pray for big faith. Jesus told Peter, "I have prayed for you that your faith might not fail." See, we need to know what to pray for. And when you are strong, that's the best thing. That is what we need prayer for, to be strong. Amen. Hallelujah. So Eliezer was a man who obeyed instruction, who knew his master and his God. He understood the meaning of heritage, spiritual heritage. Praise God. Hallelujah. I being on the way. Praise God. You remember Moses? Moses was a man in the beginning who tried to do it his own way, isn't it? Like Frank Sinatra sang, "I did it my way," isn't it? And so when you do it your way, you end up in Arabia, in Midian. Don't do it your way, you will end up in Timbuktu. Praise God. But finally, one day, God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This was the order from heaven. Amen. And then Moses got his staff, and then he was on the way. Somebody say, on the way. Moses could say, I being on the way, the Lord led me. So what happened the first time, Moses? Well, I tried to do it my own way. And it ended up with murder. It ended up in Midian. It ended up with me becoming a shepherd. I messed up my life. See, if we want to do things our way, I'm telling you, we will mess up our lives. Completely mess up our lives. But if we allow God to do it his way, and we submit to him, say, Lord, I'm tired now. Do it your way. Wherever you tell me to go, I will go. And then you will see what a wonderful thing God will do. And Moses went and became the great Moses. Few people in the history of the world have been used by God like Moses. I being on the way, the Lord led me. Do you want to be used powerfully by God? Make sure you are in the way. Hallelujah. Make sure you are in the way, and you will see God will use you. You will find many opportunities to glorify the name of Jesus. That's how the way is. It's the way of God. Hallelujah. So Moses wasted 40 years doing things his own way. But when he did it the way of God, you know, the 40 years he served God were the most action-packed 40 years of his life. We have another, maybe smaller, banal, I was about to call it banal example, a simple, but it's not really that simple. It's a huge, huge thing. The Apostle Peter walking on the Sea of Galilee. We know the story. There was a storm in the Sea of Galilee. The apostles thought they're going to lose their lives. The wind was boisterous. The waves were threatening to capsize the ship, the boat. These were people who were seasoned fishermen. But when seasoned fishermen panic and are afraid for their lives, it means it was a serious storm. I say this because when Jesus came and calmed the storm, let me tell you, we need to give credit to the Apostle Peter, because the others were still shaking in their boots, so to speak, just having barely recovered, and the man was already planning another adventure. One thing about Peter, he was brave. He was a very brave man. That's why he cried when he denied the Lord. He couldn't believe what happened to him. But Jesus was trying to tell him something. Even the bravest man has to rely on Jesus. Be humble. Amen. But leaving that aside, Peter quickly overcame his fear. He was the first to overcome his fear. Where others were now seeking to be, imagine they were afraid to fall into the water and die. And Peter saying, Lord, if it is you, praise God. Hey, hallelujah. God is good. I really love this man. He said, if it is you, bid me to come on this water. No fear, Peter. And he jumped into the water. And all the other apostles must have been saying, this guy, we've always suspected he was crazy, but today we have evidence he's crazy. Praise God. God bless Peter. You see, he walked on the water. After Jesus, only one man has walked on the water. His name is Peter. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know why preachers always are preaching about how he was sinking in the water. Who cares? Peter could say, I'm the first man to walk on the water. Neil Armstrong may be the first man to walk on the moon, but I'm telling you, I'm the first man to walk on water. Praise Jesus. I know science doesn't believe in any of this, but it's written in the world's number one best-selling book, the Bible. Do you know that the Bible is in the Guinness Book of World Records in 2021? Between 5 billion to 7 billion Bibles were sold. 5 to 7 billion. No book comes anywhere near this. Are you with me? Guinness World Record. The Bible is the number one selling book. Is the word of God not true that Jesus said in Matthew 24, 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be published in every nation? Come on. What more do we need? This is the way, the Christian way is really the right way. Jesus is true. I checked this recently. I was shocked. Guinness Book of World Records says this, not me. The world's number one best-selling book is the Bible. Amen. And in a website, so that you need to use this when you witness to people, please. Because, you know, people don't want to, they think we're crazy people who just, let me share this, please. If the master of this website will allow me, of this Skymonaut, it says I can't share. Starting share screen will stop other participants. Do you want to continue? Yes, I want to continue. Praise God. So here, let's look at, don't take my word for it. Do you see this? I'm sharing it, but I don't know why there are all these advertisements here, but look at this. What does it say here? This is Guinness Book of World Records. Yeah, their official website. Look at that up on the top there where it says Guinness World Records. Best-selling book, Bible. How many copies? It says who? Christian Bible. What? 5 billion. That is minimum. When? 2021. Listen to what it says. The best-selling book of all time is the Christian Bible. It is impossible to know exactly how many copies have been printed. Yes, amen. But it says research conducted by the British Foreign Bible Society in 2020 suggests that the total number probably lies between 5 to 7 billion copies. I rest my case, Your Honor. Somebody say, and then I didn't finish. Now let's turn. Please turn with me to the book of Matthew 24, verse 14. Please see the connection. You want faith? This is how I build my faith. It's based on evidence. Look at what it says. 2,000 years ago, somebody who the world would look and say, a carpenter from Galilee says this. How many people were following him at that time? Just a few thousand people. Which book does he have? No book. But because of him, because of him, because of these words, because he is God, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Oh! For a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. Are you with me? What are we waiting for? Why are people not believing? I really don't understand. Because they don't want the truth. I'm asking, as a normal, reasonable person, can you deny this? You know, any Tom, Dick, and Harry, somebody called Ali in Somalia could say 2,000 years ago, and the book of Somalia will be in all the world and will be the number one book. Excuse me, Ali from Somalia. Nothing like this has happened. People don't even know where Somalia is. But look at Jesus of Nazareth, because he is God. Although he lived in what may be today a primitive society. Somebody says, he's a carpenter. Why is he speaking like this? Are you not being arrogant? What are you talking about? Even the Torah of the Jews is not so famous. Jesus is God. Please listen to me. No one can speak like this and fulfill it unless he's God. I know about publishing a little bit. I know about books a little bit. I'm telling you, this Jesus of Nazareth, you better take every word he spoke seriously. Please take every word he spoke seriously. Everything will happen. I've checked all books that claim to be religious books. I've read the Bhagavad Gita. I've read the Upanishads. I've read the Rig Veda. I've read the Dhammapada. I've read all sorts of books, the Quran, etc. None comes even a fraction close to the Bible and the words of Jesus. He's so humble. He spoke. I don't even know if Matthew, when they wrote it, he believed it. I don't know. But today, can anybody doubt? Can anybody doubt? Praise God. If you have a Bible near you, why don't you lift up your Bible? I don't know how many languages the Bible is in here. I can see English. I can see Norwegian. I can see Dutch. I can see Danish. Hallelujah. Which other languages? Tigrinya, Amharic, all the languages. Hindi, praise God, Hindi. Yes, Brother Samuel from India, Hindi. Come on, right here. I am getting very excited. I wish I could jump, praise God. You see, we are living proof of Matthew 24, 14. If this doesn't get you excited, you're dead. And I will not say rest in peace. We will say resurrect in peace in Jesus' name. We'll prophesy something from Jesus. I'm telling you, it shocks me. 5 to 7 billion copies. And the world is acting like nothing. They are busy. You know, you may not get the impression that the Bible is the number one best-selling book in the world. How? A book written 2,000 years ago. I'm sure even if I told the Apostle Paul, Paul, this book you're writing, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, is going to be 5-7 billion copies sold. You would say, oh, I give all the glory to God, but that is amazing. Peter, James, John, all of you, Luke. Praise God. Oh, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise. If you love the truth, Jesus said, you will come to me. Amen. You know, one thing I don't like is lies. I hate lies. And I love the truth. And when I find it, I rejoice. And I will stay with the truth. This is the truth. Matthew 24, 14 is the truth. We are the generation that sees it. We are the generation that should declare to the world about this. I don't know why you are not a Christian. Imagine if a man in the Galilee were to say 2,000 years ago, my words will be in the best-selling book of the world. It will be in every nation as a witness. They would laugh, isn't it? And then you show them the Bible. And you show them Guinness Book of World Records. Come on. Am I strange to be excited about this? For me, this is proof. This is evidence. This is hallelujah. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. Somebody comes and says, everybody come and take 666. It's too late. And there would be a one world government. I've seen enough. I've seen enough. Israel is back. They want to build a temple. What are you waiting for? Repent. Be baptized in Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Start to go in the way. Join us. Join us before it's too late. Hallelujah. Don't waste time with whatever you're doing in Jesus' name. Whoever you are, fear God. Amen. There are too many witnesses. Too many witnesses. Praise God. Say, I'm on the way. I'm in the way. Once you're in the way, God's plan will be accelerated in your life. Everything will work out. See, all things work together for good. Romans 8, 28. Jesus never said, Paul never said, all things are good. I always use the example of the cake. I don't know how to make a cake. Before I die, may the Lord help me to learn how to make a cake. But I'm the best consumer of cakes. I'm the best connoisseur of cakes. I don't know what happened. We disappeared for a moment. Is everything back on, Sister Hamino? I trust it is. Praise God. And the recording is in progress.
Yes.
Amen. What was I saying? All things work together. It's perfect. Amen. Even though all things work together. Praise God. It came back together. We are together. Praise God. And we will work together in Jesus' name for the glory of Jesus. Amen. So the point is, all things work together. When you're on the way, it may not be as you were expecting. We never said, Jesus never said, it will be a walk in the park. Let me tell you, you don't want to go to heaven and say, my goodness, I experienced no problem. It was a nice walk on the earth. And everybody around you will tell you, I was fighting lions. I was fighting scorpions and snakes. I lost a limb, and you are going to be the only one in heaven to say, you'll be ashamed if you had no problem. I'm not saying we want problems. I'm saying the more difficult the battle, the sweeter the victory. Say the sweeter the victory. Jesus doesn't want you to be ashamed in eternity. So he allows some problems to come. And he says, fight, you will win. Hallelujah, praise God. So that you will have a testimony in Jesus' name. So let me conclude. We are past the hour. Peter said, Lord, bid me to come. He walked on the water. Why did he walk on the water? I've always said Peter didn't walk on the water. He walked on the words of Jesus. One word is enough to walk on. Jesus said, come. And Peter walked on Jesus' word, come. Praise God. If the word of God made us, if the word of God made the earth that I'm walking on. Do you know I'm walking on the word of God? Because the word of God made everything in the beginning. Who made the earth? God said, let dry land appear. And dry land appear. And we are standing on the dry land. So we are walking on the word of God, even the unbelievers. And that's why I said atheism doesn't make sense. Repent of atheism. You are walking on a miracle. Are you thinking it's normal to walk on a planet that is spinning at a great speed and at the same time moving towards, around the sun? You think it's normal? How is it? You're not flying off. You say, because of the law of gravity. Excuse me? The law of gravity. Who made it? It's just an accident. An accident puts you on this planet, which is spinning on its axis at great speed, and at the same time hurtling around the sun. And you're telling me that you are giving glory to somebody, the God called gravity. God have mercy. God have mercy. And the Lord still allows us to live and not fly off the earth. No, no, no. I thank him. In him, I live and move and have my being. Praise God. God is the reason for everything I do. That's why when we stand up, I say in Jesus' name. When we sit down, thank you, Jesus. When we eat, we thank him. Because I breathe in him. I can't do anything without him. Go to a funeral. Look at the dead body. How many things did they do? But now, because God took away his soul, her soul, that is how we will be. Fear God. Amen. Fear the one who allowed you to live and to move and to walk in Jesus' name. Live according to his way. Amen. Why will you be his enemy? Amen. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I keep coming back to this. People hear these podcasts. We have to challenge them. Amen. Because if we can save one soul through this website, it's a blessing. It's worth it. It's worth sacrificing every Saturday. It's worth gathering ourselves together every Saturday in Jesus' name. But Peter walked on the word come. Hallelujah. As long as he believed he's walking on the words of Jesus, come. The word of Jesus is a boat in itself. The word of Jesus is land in itself. Hallelujah. He makes a way where there is no way. Praise God. He creates things which are not there. Hallelujah. So under the feet of Peter was the word of Jesus. Every step, Jesus' words were holding. Amen. Until he began to stop and look around. And then he began to pay more attention to what God made instead of God. Amen. When do we get in trouble, brothers and sisters? When we look too much at what God made instead of God. Are you with me? It's the only time we get into problems. Who is greater, the Sea of Galilee or Jesus? Twice Jesus proved his power over the Sea of Galilee. Twice he humiliated the Sea of Galilee. Peace, be still. He slapped the sea. Be quiet. And then he told Peter, walk on the Sea of Galilee. How many people did it drown before? Kill before? But not Peter. Not Jesus. Jesus will never allow what he created to destroy us if we keep our focus on him. Do you have problems at home? What are your problems? Job, health, children. Keep your eyes on Jesus and it will never destroy you. Are you with me? It will never overcome you. Jesus is what we keep our eyes focused upon. Eliezer kept his eyes upon the God of Abraham. Moses went on the way and kept his eyes upon the God of Abraham. Peter, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was okay. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It doesn't matter how things look. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, after walking 40 years with Jesus, I can tell you, problems don't trouble me like before. Why? Because I've lived long enough with Jesus to see all problems come and go. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So sometimes I see a problem, I want to smile and look and say, aha, okay. So you think you are different? Okay, let's see. Impress me. And they don't impress. I'm not being arrogant. I'm saying, because I know Jesus will take care of this problem. It can huff and puff. It can do all that it wants. But I've seen your cousin before. I've seen your aunt before. I've seen your father before. And they all go away. Amen. So speak like this to problems in Jesus. Say, I believe the Bible and the word of God, which says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And then we will meet in 2040. And I will still be speaking this way. And you may think, this guy has no problems. Oh, the whole family of problems come. But Jesus Christ is sufficient for them. I being on the way, say with me, we will conclude. I being on the way, only thing you need to fear, brother or sister, is whether you are on the way or not. That's all you need to fear. Make sure you are on the way. Hallelujah. And all will be well with your soul. Praise God. Because Peter was on the way, Jesus did not allow him to drown. Philip the evangelist, he was on the way to Samaria. Jesus told him to go there. Big revival. Then Jesus said, go on the way to Gaza. Amen. He went there. Hallelujah. And he met the Ethiopian eunuch. Praise God. When you're on the way, you will see wonderful things. Life will be wonderful. Stay in the way, brothers and sisters. What is this way? Jesus Christ is our God. He is the Word made flesh. Praise God. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Our God, who was spirit alone, now has appeared in his own body. He loved us so much that he came to love us, to eat with us, to laugh with us, to hug us, to comfort us, to heal us, to give us peace, to save us. Praise God. A son, a child is given to us. Say he's given to us. This child is not some theology somewhere. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when a mother gives birth, what happens? At some point, the nurses come, the midwives, isn't it? And they give her the baby. This is your baby. In the same way, this baby Jesus is given to us, say, this is my baby. This is my God. I've waited for him. He will save me. Amen. He's not far off. He came, robed himself in flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Say, this is my son. This is my Jesus. This child is for me. Hallelujah. You have your Jesus. We can share Jesus. Amen. But we all have one Jesus. This Jesus is for everyone. Where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there. He's for everyone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, this is an amazing Jesus. Amazing faith. Don't lose your Jesus. Don't lose your Jesus. Hallelujah. Hold on to him. Hold on to him. Be proud of him. Love him. Exalt him. And you will see, hallelujah, he will bless you. He will use you. Every problem will fall before you one by one. Every problem, like Dagon, its head will be cut off. Bang, hallelujah, fall down. Praise God. They get up again. Bang, hallelujah. Because Jesus is with us. Hallelujah. I being on the way, the Lord led me. Eliezer, what happened? I found her. Amen. He found everything. He found the one through whom later Jesus would come. Amen. His mission is successful. You know, even because God was with him, Laban could not cheat him. You remember Laban? You remember Jacob? Jacob was in the wrong way. Are you with me? He was on the wrong way. When you're on the wrong way, Laban will cheat you. Laban was cheating him every day. It's not good to be in the wrong way. But Eliezer had no problem with Laban. Are you with me? He gave him some gold. He made him happy. When he said, please stay here, stay here. He said, no. I don't have time to stay with Laban. Amen. We're going to go back to Abraham. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need to thank God for the way. Finish. Don't stay in a place in the way for too long, unnecessarily. Keep moving. Amen. Eliezer didn't waste time with Laban. He has to come back. He has a mission. While we are on this way, we have a mission. Laban kept Jacob for 20 years. 20 years. May Laban never keep you. Amen. May you eat with Laban and leave. Praise God. Laban is not a good guy to be with. He worships false God. He doesn't respect the God of... Do you know that Laban is one of the people God told Abraham, leave your family. Leave your people, your father. Leave Laban especially. So God have mercy. I'm being strict with Laban. But is there any good thing in Laban? Have you read anything good? He worships idols. He cheats the grandson of Abraham. What kind of family member is this? Yeah. I hope we don't have family members. I don't want to get into trouble with anyone. But if you have a family member like Laban, please stay away from him. Amen. Maybe you may give him some gold a little bit, but leave. Praise God. Say, I'm on the way. Hallelujah. I'm on, brother Kalle. Hallelujah. We pray there is no Laban in our family in Jesus' name. There is no blessing. Nothing good. God told Abraham, leave Laban. Leave Haran. And do you want peace? Be on the way like Abraham. Don't go back to Laban. He had quick business with Laban. Very polite, diplomatic. And he took Rebecca. He was happy. Praise God. You know, even when Jacob wants to leave Laban, Laban came after him. If you stay too long with Laban, it's not easy to leave. He will follow you. But thank God, the God of Jacob was with him. And he told Laban, if you touch Jacob, you're dead. God can deliver us from Laban. Only God can deliver us from Laban. Please don't end up in the wrong house, in the wrong church, with the wrong Laban, in Jesus' name. Yes, we show love to all of the Labans, but don't wait too long then. Don't eat too long with them. Finish your business with them and leave. God bless you. Let's just pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for this message. Let it come up before your throne as a sweet-smelling incense. We know that you have this message for someone out there, someone who knew the way and has detoured, someone who has diverged from the way, the truth, and the life. We pray that you will stretch forth your hand and bring them back gently. I pray that you save them from the wrong path. Extend your hand of mercy. And for those of us who are in the way, I pray that you guide us. I pray that we will be strangers and pilgrims to this world, that we keep our eyes fixed on the end of the way, where you, Jesus, await us to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. My God, grant us grace. As you were with Eliezer on the way to Haran, be with us. Have mercy upon us. When we are weak and we are distracted and we walk on the wrong road like Elijah, speak to us. Show us your power that we may come back in the straight and narrow road, Jesus. Have mercy upon us. Keep us from the Labans of this world in Jesus' name. We love you, Jesus. We lift up your name, Jesus. Bless everyone who's here, Jesus. You are sufficient for them. I pray for them, for their faith, for their lives, Jesus, for their bodies, their health, their mind, their daily lives, Jesus. Sometimes it's difficult to just go from day to day for some of your people, but you are sufficient for them. With my God, all things are possible. All power is in the name of Jesus, we believe. Send your word and bless your people right now. Send your word and edify them right now. Send your word and bless them in their body and minds and souls right now. Open those doors that are stubborn, refuse to open in Jesus' name. Open. Open the doors for financial blessings, jobs. Open the doors for harmony within the family in Jesus' name. Open the door for spiritual revival in individuals, in the churches. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Fill our hearts with your love, Jesus. Our biggest challenge is to be like Jesus. This is what we pray for, to be like you. Let this mind be in us, which was in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Humble ourselves in Jesus' name. Clothe ourselves with Christ today. Wash us with your blood. Forgive us all our sins in Jesus' name. Clothe us with your mind and your spirit, Jesus. Again, we pray you. You are not finished with us. Though we have walked many years with you, we still feel great things are waiting. Great things are waiting. Many people are waiting to be baptized in your name. Many people who love righteousness are waiting and saying, Paul, Boiteo, Paul, come over to Macedonia and help us, praise God. There are Macedonians waiting for us. We want to work for you, Jesus. We are excited to do more for you, Jesus. Bless us today. Bless your people today. Unite us with new love, new energy as we start going towards the end of 2025, Jesus. We thank you that we have our greatest treasure, our faith in you. And we will take it with us into 2026, Jesus. The God who kept us in 2025 and 24 and 23 and 22 and 21. The God who kept us through the time of the COVID. The God who kept us 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. You will go before us to 2026. And we know that something new, something wonderful is waiting for us. In the name of Jesus, bless all your people. Prepare us to enter into a new season, a new time, a new blessing. All this we receive in the mighty name of Jesus of Nazareth. And the church says, amen, amen, amen. Jesus bless you. May the Lord give you strength in all you do, keep you in the days and weeks and years to come. Jesus bless you. I yield the mic to Brother Simon. Jesus bless.
Jesus bless you, Brother Paul, abundantly.